Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bad host, bad host. This is Wretched Radio. Friel, we could have told you that. Hey, Jimmy, I left out two stories that might be the most violently eye-rolling stories of the entire stack.
Oh.
Courtesy of Sebastian Gorka. Do you know who Sebastian Gorka is? Somehow he became kind of a Fox guy, conservative guy. He is now serving as the deputy assistant to President Donald Trump, senior director for counterterrorism. That's a lot. He gave a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference Summit. Is that affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention? I'm sorry. That was a snipe at the EFE. What's the name of the thing? The PAC? I'm sorry. The extension of the SBC in Washington?
ECLA?
That's ECLA?
Or is the ELCA? It's one of them.
No, that's ELCA is the Apostate Lutheran Synod.
Okay.
Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. ERLC.
That's it. That's
just
it.
Testing you.
I got
just
my, I got them mixed up.
Had dinner with a Southern Baptist last night. And wow, it was edifying. We had such a good time. I've known this fellow for years. In fact, you might remember him because Jimmy plagiarized from him without giving him credit. Do you remember the name? You did.
I did. I
but so did I.
I told him after.
You know what? I'm just ashamed of this. I actually asked him for permission to use his illustration for my new book. Apparently, though, I forgot to do that with Road Trip to Truth. We must have used it in Road Trip to Truth. So when he was here with his wife and his lovely children, he saw the Road Trip to Truth and informed me that we had plagiarized his stalker illustration. Do you remember Josh Williamson, open air preacher from Australia originally? Now, he's currently in Great Britain, south of London, right over there on the coast. It's where Isaac Watts lived, the great hymn writer, Isaac Watts. And he was telling me, Jimmy, would you look up like the top five Isaac Watts tunes, maybe top 10? He wrote a gazillion of them. Well, that was his hometown. And apparently on the quarter hour, the city bells, they actually play an Isaac Watts hymn, which is a lot better than the Islamic call to worship sound. Do the city council members know what they're doing? No. Do they have any sense of history? No. Do they know why that was originally determined to be a good idea? No. They just are oblivious to the Christian influence on the United Kingdom. So they probably don't know why, but I'm sure it's a pleasure to hear it. That's where the Titanic left port. And that is where he does open-air preaching, one-on-one evangelism, because he works for an organization in the United Kingdom, Open Air England, I believe is the name of it, where he goes and he helps churches to be more evangelistic. And I think there might be a need here that we maybe could create something here at Fortis Institute to help churches become more evangelistic. How do you do it? How do you get people to be really thinking more about the expansion of Christ's kingdom via the obedience to the Great Commission? How do you do that? I think that's something that we might be working on here at Fortis. And we were chatting, and he was actually saying that if he didn't know for sure, but he thought that the fracturous nature of conservative circles might be even worse in England than they are in America. It's hard for me to imagine that because we'll divide about just about anything these days. He said it's really can be even more intense in Great Britain. And this is a guy who's plenty conservative. But it appears that maybe they're just leading the way in Great Britain once again. That they are not practicing theological triage, that there are things that we definitely fight about and things that we don't need to be fighting about. There's a kingdom to expand. Jimmy, do you got the top Isaac Watts hymns?
I do.
All right, hit me.
Number one, when I survey the wondrous cross.
Great hymn.
Number two, joy to the world. Number three.
That was Three Dog Night? I thought he was like 1700s. Anyway, go ahead.
Number three, oh God, our help
in ages past. I wonder if that was the one. Our joy for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Yeah. Okay. No, maybe that was it. Go ahead.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Yep. Nope. I sing the mighty power of God. Nope. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun.
That is an evangelistic hymn right there. Mm. We want the gospel to spread. Yeah, that's not it.
Let's see. Am I a soldier of the cross?
No, come, definitely not that.
Come, we that love the Lord. How sweet and awful is the place. And this is the day the Lord hath made.
Well, I think, what was the one that I said I think it is? The third or fourth one?
Our God, our help.
In ages past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. Can you imagine that playing in your town? It's just a tragedy that hymn, which was beloved and sung by countless Brits, is now just a bell with any sort of meaning whatsoever. But that's not what we're not talking about, doing open air preaching and evangelism with Josh Williamson from the United Kingdom. We're talking about Sebastian Gorka, who he's got an accent, doesn't he? The stuff that I saw of him, I haven't seen him in years, but you know, he always seemed to be more of a conservative kind of guy. He was delivering this. Oh, there we are. Now I know how we got here. He was speaking at the PAC conference and then Southern Baptist and dinner with the Southern. All righty, we're back. He was speaking and he said, oh boy, when Donald Trump was shot, it was an utter Christ-like moment. No, it wasn't. It was very bad. It doesn't even come close to what happened to Jesus Christ. Not even remotely sort of close. Don't get me wrong. These assassinations on Charlie Kirk and these assassinations on attempts on Donald Trump. Look, they're bad and we denounce them. Gorka called them self-sacrifice. Jesus wasn't, if you will, self-sacrifice. Actually, Jesus was self-sacrificed because he went intentionally. He orchestrated it. That was his mission. He was the baby born to die for sinners. That was always the predetermined plan. Having somebody shoot at you while you're speaking, well, that's not self-sacrifice. That's getting almost assassinated, and that's bad enough. And whilst I want to make sure that nobody thinks, oh, you're downplaying a man almost got shot. No, I'm not downplaying that. What I'm trying to do is elevate what happened to our Savior. It is so much exponentially greater that God became flesh, dwelt among us with the explicit intention to not just be shot, but to be brutally beaten and to be hung on a cross. It doesn't even come close. He referred to Trump's recognition of what he called self-sacrifice by taking a bullet at the Butler rally. According to Gorka, quote, what he did that day evinced the heart of a lion and a lion-like Aslan. Look, his response, I thought, was pretty manly. But to compare anything to the sacrifice of our Savior is I think, a failure to remember what that cosmic event was. God dying on a cross. Now, we know that God himself was not exterminated. That would change his character and his nature. But this human being who was fully God, fully man, died so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Making America great again is nothing compared to the salvation of one sinner accomplished through the crucifixion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I appreciate the man's courage, and I don't have a bone to pick about that. But for anybody, including a deputy assistant and senior director for counterterrorism, to compare anybody's martyrdom to the martyrdom of Jesus Christ, look, it's awful, and the church has had so many martyrs, and I don't want to downplay those. So I want to keep those elevated, But the crucifixion of Jesus way transcends any of those deaths, any of them. They murdered God in the flesh. Sorry, that made my eyes roll. Story number two, cool, Gavin Newsom appeals to the Bible. Do you really want me to tell you what he said? Does it really matter? He's using the Bible to say the SNAP program, the benefits like 45 million people, 80% of whom don't need it. A lot of people who aren't even citizens getting SNAP benefits. Gavin Newsom, the New Testament and Old Testament have one dominant thing in common. It's about food. About about serving those who are hungry. It's not a suggestion. It's core and essential to what it means to align with God's will. I wouldn't say that it is not non-necessary because that is an outgrowth. The essential of the Christian faith. Maybe you could call Simon Gorka. Is it Gorka? Simon Gorka?
Sebastian.
Sebastian Gorka and talk to him about what the essential is. And that is Jesus Christ, the God-man being crucified. With all due respect, sir, that's the essential. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is prophecy. Prophetic books record God's warnings to Israel and other nations of the consequences of continued rebellion against Him and the blessings waiting those who trust Him for salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Probably should have done this first. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, am I going to get into trouble with anybody for saying that what happened to Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania was a heroic act, but it ain't nothing compared to what our Savior did? Donald Trump was a victim. Jesus was a volunteer.
Yeah.
There's a radical difference right there. Furthermore, we don't want any human being shot. Jesus was brutalized. He was so pummeled. You couldn't even tell he was a human being. And he died whilst receiving the wrath of God upon himself. That's a part of the passion you and I never get to actually see, that God was pouring out his wrath on his son. Oh, and to suggest that anybody's assassination or even martyrdom for the sake of Jesus Christ, look, that is a very heroic act. But for us to pull the act of crucifixion down to the level of any other death, I'm sorry, it's just to simply minimize what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jimmy, I did it again. Am I going to get in trouble with people?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You shouldn't, for sure.
Well, that's maybe you've forgotten what year it is. Maybe you've forgotten that social media exists.
Yeah.
It's not about, again, minimizing what somebody has done. It's to appreciate more fully what Jesus did for us. Gavin Newsom using the Bible to scold us, saying that the Bible, hey, you read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah, go down the list, said Newsom. The Bible is about one thing, food. No, actually, it's not. If you did want to say there's a theme in the Bible that is consumable, it would be bread. Wine, maybe you could even make the case, is it makes some guest appearances in the Old Testament, certainly at the Passover meal. Bread is a thread throughout the Bible. Trees are a thread throughout the Bible. The Bible is bookended by trees and a river. So yeah, there are threads. I grant you that. In fact, there's a lot of threads in the Bible. There's a ton of, I've counted 21 threads in the Gospel of Matthew alone. But then the entire Bible, you've got trees, you've got light, water is a theme. Blood is most certainly a theme throughout the Bible. Trees, as mentioned. So we don't ignore those. But to say that the essential of the Bible is about food and feeding people. Yes, the story of the Good Samaritan is about taking care of somebody. Absolutely. And yep, got it. Check. We understand that, Governor. But that's not the main tenet of Christianity. Furthermore, that is a work. That is just class. Well, Gavin Newsom apparently grew up Roman Catholic, who, by the way, this is, wow. All right. I think there might be something else here that I was not able to unearth because I didn't dive deeply into a new document that was released by the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith, the DDF of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the Mater Populi Fidelis, the mother of faith, of the faithful. That's funny. Mater Populi Fidelis. And then in parentheses, it says the mother of the faithful people of God. People of God isn't, it's just the faithful. At any rate, they determine, guess what? Mary is not, I repeat, not the co-redemptrix. Okay. I'm certainly down with that because to suggest for a second that anybody played a role in our justification is to rob Jesus of his salvific work. And so the Roman Catholic Church, which has flirted with calling her the co-redemptrix, because there are people who do, they finally said, no, we're not going to do that. Now, the reason is a little suspicious to me, but then again, I'm kind of suspicious that way. It's because it has too much language. It becomes unhelpful. It's got too much baggage. The explanation required to explain that Mary is the co-redemptrix, it just cause it could be problem. It could make problems ecumenically, you know, with those Protestants. Well, it's just a bad word. It's just a terrible word. Was Mary highly favored? Yeah, the Bible says so. But when we see Mary, what should our response be to this highly favored one? It is not to elevate Mary. It is to love our God more, who chose a mere mortal to be the bearer of the Son of God. Wow! How kind is God? How amazing is God? How well did he treat Mary? What a blessing he gave to her. Any blessing, any gift, it should shine the spotlight on the giver, not the recipient. Was Mary a godly woman? Yes. And they say, you know, she was there at the cross. Yeah, so was Mary Magdalene. So were several women. In fact, probably about a dozen women. We don't know how many exactly. It just says a number of women. And it does list Mary Magdalene. But that doesn't mean that they somehow participated in the suffering of Jesus. Did they suffer emotionally watching him? Yeah. Did that contribute to our justification? Absolutely not. But we'll take a win when we can get one. They didn't make Mary the co-redemptrix, although I think the sentiment behind it, it's just not positioned rightly. It's just not positioned rightly. Was she chosen to do a great thing? Yes, but it did not contribute to our salvation. That is to rob God of his glory. And I think that's my point with the Sebastian Gorka comment about Trump being compared to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice when he was almost shot. I'm talking about Trump, not Jesus. It just diminishes it. It diminishes it. We have to continue to maintain a spectacularly high view of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Governor Newsom, are we back again? Governor Newsom saying that, hey, it's all about food in the Bible, so we got to be feeding one another. That's a law, sir, which we would expect from a Roman Catholic, because he thinks that that is what Christianity is about, doing stuff. And by the way, that's becoming an increasing problem inside of evangelicalism. Did I mention I had dinner last night with Josh Williamson? And he was saying, okay, all right, I think I've got this story straight. If not, change the names to protect the innocent. Will Graham, sorry, son of Franklin Graham, was in Great Britain preaching, about 1,000 people. Now I'm talking about evangelism. And he said, these are people there to get evangelism training, about 1,000 folks. I do not assume that any of you are saved. And he thoroughly preached law, gospel, the character and the nature of God, repentance and faith. A man must be born again if he will inherit the kingdom of God. And he dismissed people by saying, it's lunchtime, you are free to go, but if you have questions about the status of your soul, come talk to me. Not an altar call, just come talk to me. And people did. And they were there for evangelism training. And Josh was also sharing the story of an individual that he was talking to who was going to an evangelical church. Hey, what's the gospel? And the fellow said, you got to be good. That's not the gospel. That's law. That's the yoke and the burden that Jesus came to lift from us. So for Gavin Newsom to say that the feeding people is essential to the Bible, oh, dude. You don't want to live under that law. By the way, here are the statistics for the SNAP program, if you're interested. SNAP has grown in the past few decades. It went from 1.4% of the population. It's currently at 12.5%. 19 million SNAP, this is the feeding program, have been on the program for longer than a year. Over 80% of people on the program are able-bodied and below retirement age. The Bible could help. Here, Gavin, you want to quote the Bible? If you don't work, you don't eat. There you go. That'll clean up the SNAP program real quick. They used to do that, by the way. And this snap broke. Look, I know it's necessary, but oh, this is the fruit of secular humanism. So what do you do with secular humanism when it fails? Well, you create another dopey response to put a Band-Aid on it. And then you get another wound and you put another Band-Aid on it. 25% of all snap users are single mothers. That's 23% of all U.S. households have single mothers. I know that there are times that that happens and there's no sin involved. That's the exception. The rule is sin is involved. Families are broken. Gavin Newsom, mangling the Bible, of course he would, to use it as a cudgel against us, has no idea how helpful the Bible would be in making California a better place to live, where men go to work and they stay with their families and they lead them to the Lord, to teach them to love Jesus Christ more and to be like their God, who is a working God. If only. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.